You are now immersed in the Superfans Soccer Cast with your hosts, Maddie Savage and Mike Apex. It's about to get lit.
Welcome in, super fans, and thanks again for allowing us, Mechanical Airspace Invaders, to spend some time with you guys and talk all things soccer. I am yours truly, Mike Apex, and of course, I got my battle buddy with me today, as usual, Mr. Maddie Savage is in the building. What's up, bro?
What's going on, Mike? Got a lot to get into. We're going to the wild, wild west. We finally got the midterms graded and turned in, and we're getting ready to share them with the fans.
Yes, we are. So, you guys, if you want to have a brew or two or coffee or beer, doesn't matter, or water, hydrate yourself. Get your favorite beverage and kick back and relax with us, because we're going to pull out the six shooters, because this is the Wild Wild West, and we're going to get our grades, guys. We're going to talk about, and the West has just been crazy. The East was great, but we're going to dive deep and talk about these teams. So, Maddie, are you ready?
I'm ready. I just have one thing to add for those that might be listening for the first time. So we already did our Eastern Conference predictions, or not predictions, but our midterm grades. And just to clarify, so the teams that are in the playoffs are the only ones that are being graded right now. If you're not in the playoffs, then I hate to say it to you, but you're getting an F because you're not in, you know, making the playoffs and going to the postseason is all that matters. So we're going to be grading 1 through 9 and 10 through 15, sorry, but get an F.
Yes, thanks for clarifying that, Maddie. Yes, you guys, anybody at the bottom of the class, you're going to get an F. And, you know, that doesn't mean things can't change. It's up to, you know, you super fans, get out there, support your teams, and, you know, help tell them to get their grades up so they don't get on academic probation. Starting at the beginning of the list here in the Wild Wild West, it's going to be San Diego FC. Man, oh man. These guys have just been great this year. Just been a surprise, a pleasant surprise. A shout out to the raucous San Diego FC fans. You guys have been cheering and fighting and ranting and raving. And it's just been crazy down there. That atmosphere for a first-time team has just been, man, it's like every game, every home game is like a playoff match, right?
Yeah, it really is. San Diego is really, it makes you wonder what took them so long to get a team in San Diego, really, and how well everything is, they've been received. And that Snapdragon Stadium, we just, Nashville just played at the Snapdragon Stadium, and I stayed up and watched it. It's amazing. It looks just great. The team is playing well, as you said, in the first in the West. They got a good thing going. I just hope that they don't get the sophomore slump as St. Louis FC. They got the sophomore slump after they were a new expansion team. So,
yes, they did. Very impressive. They are at the head of the class, sitting like a valedictorian right now. So they're going to get an A+ in my book. Just quickly, they're sitting at 14 wins. They got 4 draws and 7 L's for a total of 46 points thus far, which is very impressive. Shout out, first of all, Coach Mikey, because, of course, I am Mikey, so I got to shout him out, right? Mikey Virus. I think this guy's come in as a first-year coach, and he's gone above and beyond anybody's expectations, right? Just watching him play, Maddie, you had first-hand experience last week watching him play your guys. And I love their style, man. I mean, you know, they're very aggressive the way they play, right? These guys like to attack. These guys defensively are very solid. And I just think the philosophy that he's brought to those guys has been infectious, right? And part of that is the, what is the ownership called? The, I think they're called the right to dream or something like that. Like, they've incorporated this whole mantra within the team. And the players have all just followed suit. Of course, we know your boy Chucky Lozano. You know, he's been definitely doing his thing out there. I think pushing the offensive side of the ball for those guys. And, of course, you know, Anders Dreyer, you know, he's doing his thing also. But overall, I just like to say that that duo, those two guys, they're deadly. They remind me of us, Maddie.
I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
Hey, they're number one. They're number one right now.
You went with A+. I'm going to give them an A. They're still, as crazy as it sounds, there's still room for improvement. As we were playing them, you can't turn off. That's one thing I will say, that you give them a little bit of space, you turn off for a little bit, they're going to score on you. But they have a problem with, I guess, controlling the game. Like, they can strike fast, but I think that a good team, a Columbus, for example, a team with possession, they need to have the ball and then maybe do counters and things like that. But if you have a good team with possession and can hold on to the ball, I think that they can find that as a weakness. You could pass the ball around on them, wear them out. And so they got a little bit of a an Achilles heel, if you will. But other than that, yeah, first in the West, can't argue with the results.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, I would agree. I think defensively is where that may be where, because they're kind of younger, right, on their back line. I think that might be, yeah, if I would say the Achilles heel. But, you know, they're so potent offensively in their style that they play that, you know, it can kind of overcompensate for that, right? But overall, I got to give them – I'm just going to give it, because I had them in the top nine, you know, when we did our preseason. And let me see something. Hold on, man. I'm just curious. I'm curious, right? I'm curious, George, right now. Let me see something. Because all these experts or whatever, I don't know where they had them preseason, where they were predicted to finish and whatnot. Oh, looky here. You guys are wrong for this. And I'm not even going, well, MLS, from the MLS.com or whatever, you guys had San Diego at 15, okay?
Oh, yeah, that is right. They did have them. I do remember that now. Yeah, they thought they were going to be, you know, and to be fair, we didn't have them. You may have. I don't think that I had them making the playoffs this season. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's going very well. Very well for San Diego.
Yeah, shout out to those guys. Great job. And hopefully you don't have the right. This is midterm, so you got the finals coming. And we'll see what the grade is later in the year, guys. Moving right along to numero two is going to be the Vancouver White Hot No Caps FC. I had to add all of that in there, guys, for emphasis. These guys have been, man, just a shocker. Again, another team that the MLS experts had these guys at the bottom of the barrel, if I'm not mistaken, also, Maddie. And they, I'm trying to remember. I think I had these guys also. Did I have them making the playoffs? I'm trying to remember. We had a lot of dark horse picks. But I can't remember, guys. Don't misquote me. But I just want to give these guys their props right now, because they've been just outstanding. And here's the crazy part, Maddie. Vancouver has been leading the West pretty much for most of the season, correct?
Yeah. It's been back and forth between them and San Diego, especially the last couple of weeks. But, yeah, for the most part, yeah, it's been Vancouver.
Yeah, and, you know, those fans up there, shout out to the Whitecap fans up there, super fans. You guys have had a treat thus far this season.
And I'm not going to pull any punches, guys. Get straight to it. I got an A-plus right here for the midterm exam grade for these guys. Maddie, they're sitting on 13 wins, 6 draws, and 5 L's. And they have 45 points. So they're only 1 point behind San Diego FC. And the difference is 1 win and pretty much 2 draws more than Vancouver has. Let me, first of all, again, I got to start off. I'm giving the coaches props, Maddie. This is a theme, if you notice right now. I'm giving these coaches some love because it's been so volatile lately. Coaches getting, you know, we in the Wild Wild West, but the whole league, coaches been getting, you know, it's been like high noon, you know, and they taking these coaches out left and right. But, yeah, Jasper Sorensen, I got to give this guy some props. I mean, he has, you know, pretty much turned this team upside down and all around, and they're playing really great soccer, guys. Discipline style. They're more of a, what'd you say, Maddie? I guess a possession-based team. I'm not going to say they're explosive like that. But their defense is excellent. I think they hang their hat on that. They've been pretty consistent all year. Shout out to the apex keeper, Yohei Takioka. How you pronounce it, Matty?
Takioka.
Not the pudding, guys. yeah, this guy's leading the league in shutouts right now. And he started every match, so he's out there. He's a warrior. He's consistent. He's getting it in. And then the other two guys, what is it, Blackman and Veselinovic, those guys have been doing, you know, great defensively for them also. But overall, I would just like to say that I'm very impressed with them. Shout out to those guys. Kudos. I think where they maybe can maybe improve on, because they've had some injuries. They've been very injury prone, which is crazy that they're still at the top. Right, Maddie? They had a lot of injuries in the last couple weeks or so, last month or so, actually. And they've been able to overcome that. Excuse me. So that's impressive. But overall, they can stay healthy and, you know, just continue. They got the defense locked down and keep scoring. I can see these guys possibly getting to the Wild Wild West, you know, finals at the end of the year, because they're just that good.
Yeah, they're getting it done. They're turning it around from years past where they've been kind of mediocre toward the bottom. And you give props to the coach. I got to give him props as well. And what I love about what he's done is he didn't come in and just like change and do a whole crazy philosophy, or, you know, like sometimes when a coach comes in, he says, I'm going to do it this type of way. Basically what he did is he's like, this is who I have. I'm not, what I mean by that is he didn't change the whole dressing room. He didn't say like, okay, I need this type of player, or I need this specific player. You know, sometimes when coaches, you know, they have a successful way of going about things, but you need certain types of players to do what it is that they need to do or want to do. And he didn't do that. He took what he already had. I know we've referenced calling coaches, you know, the chefs in the kitchen and whatnot, and how, you know, let them get the groceries, let them buy the groceries and whatever. He basically took the groceries that somebody else bought and worked with that and improved upon what was already there. And now he's going to be getting rewarded by having the ability to go and shop and get some of these players. And one of them is Bayern Munich great in Muller. He's talking about signing with Vancouver. And that's going to be a very big sign if they can get him. They lost Pedro Vite to Liga MX. That's one of the teams signed him. So that, I mean, you're losing, but you're gaining, and that could be a good signing going forward, gives them some depth. And if they get Ryan Gold back, get him back healthy to tag beside Brian White, Ali Ahmed, that's the other one. Yeah, Ali Ahmed on one side. They got Jaden Nelson on the other. And with Muller pulling the strings, probably in the middle, playing the number 10 role. And then you mix that with Sebastian Berhalter and Takioka on defense. They're going places. I give them an A as well. They're turning it around. I can see them, if not making it to the Western Conference Finals, definitely winning a playoff round for sure this season.
Yes, yes. I totally agree. Professor Savage, because we're professors today, guys. We're, you know, making these grades, these midterm grades. So we had to get our PhDs out, right, and make sure we're on point. But a very good assessment, Maddie. You guys have been impressive, and nobody expected them to do this well. So we got a shout-out to Vancouver Whitecaps superfans. Okay, so let's go to number three. Number three is going to be the Minnesota United FC. Man. You know, Maddie, last year we saw these guys, they made the playoffs, right? They made a big splash. What did they win last year? Maybe, I don't know, 13, 14, 15 games, something like that. They had a lot of ties and stuff, I think. I'm just going off the top of the head, guys. But I know they weren't, like, they did good. They did pretty, you know, pretty good, pretty decent. But this year to be in third place right now, and they're sitting at 12 wins, 8 draws, and 5 L's. And they got 44 points. So they're right in the thick of things, man. This is crazy. This is how tight that is. You only got 2 points separating third and first place, right, in the West, right? I just want to point out this real quick. The 8 draws, Maddie, that shows me that's kind of a high number overall, 8 draws thus far. But that shows me that these guys are very competitive, right? They're, you know what I'm saying? Like they're right there, you know, in the midst, right? They're on the cusp of winning these matches. But yeah, what do you think about that there? I mean,
I think, yeah, having draws, I mean, being a Red Bull supporter, you know that you guys didn't you have like the most draws last year of the entire league? Yes. And like I said, making it all the way to the MLS Cup shows, like I said, draws aren't all the time a bad thing. If that's all you do all season long, then you might have problems, you know, major ability to finish out games or maybe you get behind. There's all kinds of, you could get into, you know, talk about that all day long. But yeah, it at least shows that you're in the games, you know? It's not they're not out of it completely. So yeah, it's a good sign.
That is, right? Okay. Thank you. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that back to my attention. We did have the most draws, and it was so frustrating for me last year. Guys, I was just, you don't even know how pissed off I was, but happy for them. You know, they made it where they did. But anywho, back to these guys. I'm going to give these guys an A, Maddie. I got to give them an A because I'm looking here. Last year, they finished at, what is this, sixth in the West last year. And they wound up with 15 wins, 7 draws, and 12 L's. And they had 52 points total last year, guys. They're already sitting at 44 points in third place. I'm going to give you guys an A. As far as the team, we've been raving about the coach pretty much all year, right, Maddie? Giving him his props and whatnot. These guys are the term I want to use for these guys is efficient, right? They've been very efficient. These guys, you know, they don't, they're not like dominating possession, right? And I've only watched like one full game of these guys this season, guys. We watch a lot of the replays. Shout out to MLS and you know, Apple TV. We can watch the game kind of condensed in a few minutes. You know, just a summary. But anyway, yeah, these guys, they're you know, they're very good, and that's what I would say the most. They have excellent defense also. A young bunch, great coach. I'm going to give them an A.
An A is a good rating, good grade for Minnesota. I will say this, though. Good defense, this is true, but the fact that they don't have any possession is a little bit concerning for their playoff hopes, and this is going to be my... I guess I'm going to play the heel in this episode where I'm going to be, you know, finding faults in these teams. But it remains to be seen how a counter team like this, well, that doesn't hold onto the ball, basically they play defense and then spring the counter to score their goals. It remains to be seen how a team like that can do it in the playoffs. Because I say that as a fan of a team that's what we did, and for a long under Gary Smith for all those years, that was what we were. It was play stout defense and then spring the counter, and it'll get you to a point that you can succeed to a point, but it also can tear you down because you have a team like a Columbus or even Miami to an extent that they want the ball. They want to try and probe and see if you're going to make any mistakes, see how good defensively you are. But not only that, but they're going to break you down. And it's like they might not get you this one time, but they're going to wait until, you know, instead of getting it in on the third pass, they're going to kick it around and wait till the, you know, 18th or 20th pass where you're just, you know, you're tired of shifting back and forth and you're just gassed. And it's like, oh, we got you now because we got the ball. That would be my only question for Minnesota is, are they going to start playing more with the ball in the second half of this or, you know, going forward towards the playoff run? Are you going to start trying to play with the ball more to kill off games if you got the lead? Or are you just going to sit back and defend and not have the ball because that's who they are currently?
Well, that's another good assessment, Professor Savage. I'm gonna go ahead and move along, guys, to the number four team. And that will be up there in the Great Northwest is Seattle Sounders FC. And I'm just gonna go ahead and come out and give these guys a B-, all right? Just plain and simple. Sitting at 10 wins right now, 8 draws. 6 L's, 38 points. If you guys can recall, I think I had these guys actually as my either number one or number two team. I'm trying to remember, but I think they've been okay. They've been at the top pretty much all year in the West, but well, in the top five, I would say. But I would say they have somewhat underachieved, in my humble opinion. I think a lot of experts had these guys as the number one team in the West preseason, right? And, you know, again, I'm going to give their coach some props or whatever, Coach Schmetzer. You know, Seattle, I think his key point, he's the equivalent of, if you look at the NFL and whatnot, just comparison, like how a defensive coordinator is in the NFL, Maddie, where this guy is like schematically, you know, he'll shut a team down that way. That's one of the traits that he has. He reminds me of that as far as his mind and, you know, preparing these guys and getting them, you know, just how they hold the defensive end down. I think that's definitely their strong suit, so to speak, right? And, you know, these guys, I've seen some crazy set pieces. Their set pieces are pretty dope, too. Like they, when they get the set pieces, the set pieces, they take advantage and they get scores also that way, right? But overall, I would say that scoring is a weakness overall of this team, right? When you're saying, you know what I mean, like actually, you know, strikers getting out here and getting some points and giving these guys, at least giving them a cushion. That, and I think that's been some of the problem why they're sitting right now at four. And they also have eight draws, Maddie. I'll give them a solid B minus right now.
I think a B is a fair assessment. That I had Seattle with very high expectations, especially after last season, with how they made it to the Western Conference Finals and the way that they played. They played the Galaxy very tough. It was a very, very good game. And, you know, could have went either way. But Ricky Pujarroic got the Galaxy across the finish line to make it to the MLS Cup last year. Seattle, in the offseason, I felt improved dramatically with getting Jesus Ferreira and getting Paul Arriola and getting these, you know, a couple of these other guys. It was going to be year two for Pedro de la Vega. It just, everything seemed to be going their way. And I was like, okay, yeah, they're going to pair this very good defensive coach with some better offensive weapons. And I saw it as an very good opportunity. They haven't quite clicked as well as I thought they would have. So I'll give them a B as well. But they still have the rest of the season. And some of the players that I mentioned, like Jesus Ferreira, hasn't quite found his position yet. Hasn't found where he fits in with the group. Once they kind of figure out what they got and really get, you know, moving really well, once everybody gets kind of settled in and said this is the team, they're going to be tough to beat. But they just, I don't know, it's just, I can't put my finger on it other than that. It doesn't seem like everybody is like they're where they can be at their best.
Definitely agree on that. And like I said, they definitely have the talent. I just think they got to, you know, they got to get some more, got to score some more goals, guys. I mean, because we know defensively they're solid, but in order to, you know, make it do what it do at the end of the season when it counts the most, they got to definitely step up the overall team, you know, production as far as goals. But I want to move over to their Northwest brother, the Portland Timbers. Love these guys, Kits, the Green, and the fans are just crazy over there. I'm going to give these guys a solid B also, Maddie. I think they're pretty much right. I had them in the pretty much in the top, in the bottom 5 to 9 as far as playoffs. I thought Portland was a very good team. We know last year what they did, made a lot of noise and such. I think those guys, and we already talked about, I just popped up in my head, Maddie. We talked about this earlier where we were making the kind of like similar, here's another NFL reference, super fans, with the divisions and stuff like that. And we were talking about with the, they had like the Northwest or whatever in those teams. And just seeing these two guys at 4 and 5, can you imagine if they actually did that? You know what I'm saying? And then you got, of course, Colorado. We'll get to them, you know? But, yeah, I'm going to give these guys.
That'd be wild.
Right? That'd be wild. And Portland right now, they're sitting at 10 wins, 7 draws, and 7 L's. They got 37 points. Again, this is showing the parity, guys, out west. And they have a lot of draws. It's just showing that the games are highly, highly competitive and just great for super fans like us to watch. I think Portland, I think they're a very balanced team, Maddie. As far as their, I saw a stat, it was like last week or so, they were talking about how they were pretty much 50-50 as far as possession and such. And These guys are very efficient. Again, another efficient team when scoring. And they've pretty much been right there in the thick of things in every game. Been a lot. They haven't gotten blown off the off the field or whatnot. So they've been in there competing. But again, we're going to see coming down the stretch, coming into the finals, guys, if they're going to take it up another level and, compete.
I got to say that I was surprised, am surprised by the Portland Timbers this year, because the way that the Vander situation unfolded and how it was, he wasn't happy, he did what he wanted out and made the move to Cincinnati, and just at the whole saga of the preseason. I mean, you lose a player of his caliber and you're expecting to at least take a step back. And my shout out player is going to be David DaCosta for stepping in and not being a like for like, but being a similar. He's been playing a similar role that Vander was doing for the past 2 years or how long it's been. He's been with the Portland Timbers. So keeping that steady hand, I thought there was going to be a step back for them as you're trying to see what you have, see how the player's going to adjust to the league and everything else. But they've kept it going, and it's been good for them to be where they're at. I didn't have them at five. I think I had them at right at outside the playoff line in my preseason prediction. So it's good for them. I'll give them a B for their grade, because I think that they can play better, but I think that they're about at their ceiling. I don't see them playing any better than where they're at. What do you say, Mike? Right. You think you can be them? You think you could see them moving up the table at all, or is this about where it is for them?
I hate to put a ceiling on these guys. Like, we want to say the sky's the limit. And I realize I'm glad you brought up DaCosta. Definitely shout out to him. I meant to shout him out. If Vander's done this, we already know Vander. I just felt like they were a really good team, like well-rounded. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's from last year. That's what I felt. Even though this guy was a big impact player, and you're exactly right. DaCosta coming in there and doing his thing. He stepped right in those shoes, and he has, pretty much kept these guys right in the mix. But you may be onto something, Maddie. It may be their ceiling. I don't want to limit these guys, but again, guys, you got to dig deep and, again, prove us wrong. You know what I'm saying? They're right there. They're sitting at what, fifth, 37 points. They're right there in the midst of things, Maddie. But just stay healthy, all right? Portland Timber super fans out there, hope you guys stay healthy and compete. But let me move along to number six. Since we're talking about the Wild Wild West and we got our six shooters on our side, the revolvers are fully loaded. And I'm pulling this. I'm pulling the gun, the proverbial gun, guys, the symbolic gun, and I'm shooting these guys down with a D. All right. Yes, LAFC, you're getting the D. let me just run the quick stats: 10 wins, 6 draws, and 6 L's, sitting at 36 points. I know they're right within striking distance. They're about 10 points away from San Diego FC, right behind Portland. But these guys have really been a big disappointment. And I'm going to put myself out there and be real, because I had, if I'm not mistaken, I had LAFC either number one or number two, right? So I'll stand on it, I can admit when I was off a little bit, so I got to go hard on these guys because we had a lot of high expectations for them.
There were some high expectations from this super fan as well. I'm not going to go so far as to say a D, because that's a heavy, heavy bad grade. I will go a C-. I'm going to go a little bit more optimistic.
For me, man. Come on, man.
I'm gonna be a little bit more optimistic. They have played a lot of games, including the Club World Cup, which, you know, they played fair in it. They, you know, for the competition level they were in, they played that really good game against Chelsea. And like I said, but you're correct. They have been underperforming in the fact that, you know, this team is better than what their record and what their points total has been showing. And here's one thing I don't understand. If you're the best team in LA, right? And this so far this season, they have been the best team in the city of LA. If you're the best team, you got to finish off your rivals. And the fact that they haven't been able to beat the LA Galaxy, who are at the very bottom of the Western Conference two times, not just once, but twice this season, have not been able to beat them. Oh man, that just goes to show like there's a finishing issue in LAFC. There's reports that your boy Heung-min Son from Tottenham is going to be coming to LAFC. It seems like it's all but a done deal. I mean, he can only do, you know, he can only help because the Olivier Giroud project, this was an utter failure. That's part of the reason why they haven't been able to score. But Jeremy Abosi, who they got from San Jose, he hasn't really been that goal-scoring machine that they need. So maybe Son can come in and then start plugging away and start giving them some goals to help them win games. So the sky isn't falling, LAFC. I know, like I said, I've been kind of a Debbie Downer this episode. LAFC, you've got a higher ceiling than Portland ahead of you. So if things start clicking, they can start rising up the table. Positive things going forward for those guys.
Definitely. And if you guys didn't know, the Tottenham Hotspur, that's my other team, right? You know, I got a couple of teams that I really like. And the Seven Son, that's what I call him, because I have his kit, right, Matty? I got the white kit, Tottenham Seven Son. He's officially coming. Looks like he's coming to L.A. And the numbers they're talking is what is like 20 mil, right? Yep. From what I'm hearing. Yeah, from what I'm hearing. And shout out to him. And shout out to the MLS. We're starting to get the big names, guys. We're bubbling over here, right? Bubbling like champagne right now. And we're starting to get a lot of big guys coming over here. And they want to be a part of this. And as Maddie mentioned, and he's... No, Matty, you're savage for a reason. you're keeping it real with the super fans out here. You're not trying to come down on them. You just got to tell it like it is, how you see it. And that's why we're grading these papers, guys. These midterms, there is no curve. We're getting straight, no chaser with these grades over here. And I gave these guys a D for what they did not do what they were supposed to do. That's three Ds for you, so... I'm going to move on, guys. to the number seven team right now. And we're going to talk. We're going to a little side note here. It's going to be the Austin FC. And quick side note. Maddie and I were talking, guys, before the coming on, doing the show today. And I just ordered me a shout out to Yeti. You guys didn't know Yeti has a new sponsorship with the MLS, and they're doing all the teams. They're doing cups. Maddie and I, our favorites, like the Rambler was like the 20-ounce Rambler, which is a great cup. You know, we love Yeti, and I ordered the red. You know, I'm the Red Bulls fan. I ordered a red. It's beautiful, guys. It's red. It has silver, and I ordered it. And Maddie got on there and looking for his Nashville dudes and. What happened, Maddie? What had happened?
Yeah, they don't have no yellow. They don't know what's the deal.
What?
They don't have any yellow. Yeah, Yeti needs to do better. They need to have the primary team colors for all the teams need to be option. I mean, if you got all these different cup colors, it wouldn't be nothing to have a yellow. I mean, if yellow is an option for like a regular cup, but if I want the Nashville emblem on, it's got to be a certain, you know, black or white or stainless steel or heck, even pink. But heaven forbid I want my yellow.
Well, let go my yellow or mellow yellow, whatever you want to call it. Yeti, you may have to hit him up, Matt. You may have to send him a message and let him know. You're right. The primary team color should be on the website. It's a great thing that you're doing, teaming up with MLS. And Maddie, you said it best. You're looking on the website. They got yellow. They have pretty much Nashville yellow, that gold yellow, beautiful yellow color. But it's for a generic regular cup. That's crazy. You guys got to step it up. But anyway, we're plugging you anyway because we love your product and whatnot. But on to the Austin FC. Shout out Austin super fans for hosting a great, again, we did a show on that, but just to go back real quick, excellent city put on the super fantastic MLS All-Star game, bonanza, whatever you want to call it. It was great. Good job, Austin FC. Now, the team itself. I hope you guys use that for inspiration and play better, right? Use that to catapult to the second half of the season. Because your grade right now is sitting at a C, all right? I'm giving you a straight C, all right? And sitting at 9 wins, 6 draws, and 8 L's. 8 hot L's over here, 33 points. Austin FC... Well, let me shout out the team because I think they played pretty good defense, Maddie. You know, I'm a defensive guy, of course, Apex. You already know, guys, Apex Predator. But overall, offensively, what's up with these dudes? I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know they lost, Vasquez, right? But they've been getting the other guy, I mentioned him before. I used to say his name, Uzu.
Yeah, I messed his Murdo guys up. Ozuna, yeah.
Right. And, you know, Wolf or whatever, they've been kind of stepping in and you know, doing their thing. Of course, Wolf is dope also. But these guys just seem like they've been very inconsistent offensively. You know, I think they've only scored... what is it? Hold on. I saw the stat earlier.
Not that many. They haven't scored that many at all.
Yeah. Okay. Here. Yeah. 17 goals in 22 games. Now that's horrible. Okay. That's plain and simple. That's horrible. And some may ask, well, Mike, you just gave LAFC a D, but you're giving Austin FC a C. Yeah. That's because LAFC is supposed to be an A team, right? And they're playing like a D team. So I got to keep it, you know, I got to keep it per team how I'm going to give these grades or whatever. It's not necessarily where the position that they're in. It's all according to their team. So these guys have played below average offensively, not scoring nothing pretty much below the MLS season average per team. So defensively, that's kept them in it. But, yeah, man. I just think they definitely could use that All-Star game to try to catapult them and motivate them and, you know, have a good second half stretch.
Okay. We're going to be opposites for these two last picks. So I was more optimistic with LAFC and you give them a D. I'm going to be more pessimistic with Austin because – I don't know what they got going on this year, man. I really don't. I give them a D. I will. I'll give them a D. Because, no. So, we talked about them in the one of our very first episodes, and they made all kinds of moves. They went and got Brandon Vasquez. They went and got Mirdo Ozuni. They picked up Ilya Sanchez from LAFC. Like, it had all of this positive traction, all these new players, and things are going to be turning around. Spent a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But if you notice, I mentioned the offensive players first because it seemed like they were really gunning for an improved offense. And that has not been the case for Austin FC at all. They have the league's worst offense, and that's inexcusable. So if they just had a average offense, they'd probably be four right now. Let's just be honest. With the defense, with how the defense has been playing, if they just had an average offense, not an extremely poor offense, just an average offense, they'd be top four. So they have a huge room for improvement on the offensive side of things, but they need to improve the offense and not do it at the expense of the defense. Whatever they got going on defensively, they need to maintain it. Brad Stewart's been doing a great job. He's an all-star. Shout out to him. You picked him to be one of the Apex goalkeepers of the year. He's been shining.
Yes.
So defensively, they have it going on, but offensively, they got to pick it up. You can't have guys that you pick up in the offseason for millions of dollars doing very little. It's just poor. And hopefully Brandon Vasquez can return from his knee injury and return healthy. And I know they're be looking to get him back because he's going to be out for probably another, you know, 8-9 months to a year perhaps.
Nah, respectfully, I hear you, Maddie. I hear you. That's why I kind of gave him a C because of and Vasquez. You're right. Get well soon, bro. No, your super fans are missing you, and Godspeed recovery. But that's why I kind of gave him a C because of the injury, and I know it's a big blow to those guys. But you did mention some very good points. You got all these other plethora of players that you brought in, right? And you know, you guys haven't cut the mustard. Let me see what was the prediction as far as where they were going to finish. Going by the MLS experts here, let me see. Okay, so they had them at 6. They had Austin FC at 6, and they're sitting at 7. So it's kind of, kind of on par, but overall, I got to agree, these guys have underachieved. You ain't scoring no points, guys. You know what I'm saying? So you got to get some goals out there. But moving right along, going to number 8 is Real, the real deal, Salt Lake City. I had these guys. I think I had these guys higher up, Maddie. I know they've been pretty competitive. However, they're sitting at 9 dubs, 4 draws, and they got 11 L's and 31 points. Salt Lake, guys, I got to give you guys a D, all right? I got to give you a D. I think if I'm not mistaken, Maddie, I had these guys like number 5, if I'm not mistaken, 4 or 5. I had them pretty high up, right, in our preseason, rankings. And, you know, again, we know you guys are out there in the wild, wild west, and we know how competitive it is. And the main guy, and I got to shout him out, Maddie, Diego Luna. He's the team leader. He's been doing his thing out there. What does he have? Let me see here. I know he's been scoring. Yeah, he got 8 goals, 4 assists. He's a standout. Shout out to this guy on US soccer. Shout out. He did his thing for Team USA also, right, Maddie? Luna's been a bright star for those guys. And I'm pouring the syrup on you guys right now, giving you some props. Xavier Gozo, the young fellow, I think that's how you pronounce his name, the 18-year-old kid, he scored a couple goals. He's been exciting to watch for the super fans out there. And, you know, the Apex goalie out there, Cabral, he's been pretty decent, right? He's been pretty decent, pretty consistent. And this guy's pretty much, they're saying he's played all of the matches thus far this season. I love their youth as far as their, I think that's their strength. They have a lot of young talent, and guys are getting out here and they're competing. Defensively, they're very good, of course. The main thing is just the scoring. I think they need more scoring in order to get a lot of these losses. I think is probably because of a lack of scoring, and that's probably what's been putting these guys behind the eight ball, so to speak, and causing these losses. So,
yeah, I can agree with you saying that, Mike. And the good news for Salt Lake is that they have a new signing, Brazilian forward, coming from Botafogo. So hopefully that he can and plug in. Yeah, they spent $5 million. Or he's on loan. He's on loan for the rest of the season, but they got a $5 million purchase option, which more than likely they'll probably pick up. And he's a new designated player, and so yeah, when you get these guys from these high profile teams in Brazil and whatnot, and I'm not too sure how old he is, but I don't think he's not an old guy by any means. So like I said, he could be the missing piece for RSL. You give them a D, I don't know. I think they have a C because
you give them a C.
I give them a C because
I give them a C minus. I'm giving them a C minus. Let me upgrade to a C minus, guys. I'll keep it fair. Go ahead.
Yeah,
C minus.
I didn't see them as a team that has a super high ceiling, anyways. Because I don't want to say it disrespectfully, like it's Diego Luna and nobody else, but. There, if you look at the roster, it's just like they don't really have the, like you said, the firepower. I was really high in the on them, or higher than I am now, because they had one of our former players, and he was with he actually signed with Forster Ajago. That's who it was, Forster Ajago. Very good, very talented guy from Duke. And he impressed me with the time at Nashville. And for whatever reason, like I said, and he was a draft pick. So it wasn't like we weren't paying him like a ton of, you know, those super draft picks don't make a lot, really.
Right.
And we didn't renew him. And I was disappointed by that. But, but RSL picked him up, Real Salt Lake. And I was like, okay, this is going to be good. He's going to get his chance. And then they loaned him out to a USL side, I think Louisville or something like that. And I was just like, ah. So, yeah, they haven't played up to what they possibly could be. So I give them a C for their midterm grade.
All right. I'll upgrade them to a C minus. Made a a grade correction, right? Okay. Well, going to round it out, guys, with the number 9 team is the Colorado Rapids. Send that number 9 in playoff contention. I'm going to give these guys also, I'm going to give them a C. I had these guys, I think I pretty much had them like 6 or 7. You know what I'm saying? I have them ranked a little higher up. Per se, they definitely, I mean, they're sitting there. Let me go ahead and run the numbers real quick, guys. 8 wins, 6 draws, and 11 L's, right? Sitting at 30 points right now. Let me say this. They have a really exciting team. I watched a couple of their games earlier this year. I saw like 2 of their games. I have a very exciting team. Mihailovic, yes. He's dope. I mean, you know, he's scoring. He got like 9 goals, 6 assists thus far. He's definitely that guy. He's won Western Conference MVP this season early on. And then he also has the kid, Rafael Navarro-Leal. He's been very good also, right? And this kid, he has like 9 goals. So you got two dudes right here that's out there really, you know, doing their thing. And, you know, overall, though, they're averaging about one. Well, I'm looking here at the stats, 1.24 goals per match while conceding 1.56 goals per match. So if you're doing the math on that, that's part of it, you know. All your analytic super dudes out there, super analytic guys, which not so much, but that's the difference right there. They're scoring less than they're giving up, guys. And, of course, their guys, we just mentioned Mihailović and Navarro. They're doing their thing, but I'm going to focus more on their, you know, weaknesses, which I think is definitely the defense. Of course, they need other guys to score, but they've been giving up a lot. And just more, here's that word again, guys, consistency offensively, right? That's what they're going to need if they want to stay in the top nine and you know, stay in playoff contention. Otherwise, I could definitely see these guys, you know, falling down the charts and not making the grade by the end of the season. But, yeah, that's all I would say. These guys got to play with a sense of urgency, Maddie. And otherwise, they're going to be down there getting the F grade. So I'm going to give these guys C minus also, because I had these guys a little farther up. And I think they're underachieving.
So you're going to give them a C. I'm going to give them a D because they're way too talented of a team with Navarro, with Mihailović, with Zach Steffen. You didn't mention him. He's no coming Steffen. Back from a knee injury. But yeah, Zach Steffen should be
back? I didn't know
he's okay. He's back. He's back. Yeah. But he, like I said, it's slow going. But This guy should be one of the goalkeepers that's competing for the US men's national team roster. And not, you know, whenever he made the move back to MLS, that was the thing. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, he's coming back to MLS and things are, you know, get his form back and he's going to be back for the U.S. His national team, all this hype. Same thing with Mihailović, was this hype and expectation. And they haven't quite hit yet. And that's why, you know, I hate the same with Austin. I hate whenever we have these expectations and it's like, oh, man, they're going to do something. Like, you know, they're making moves, they're being exciting, and then they just kind of fall flat. That's exactly what the Rapids have done the past, I would say, 2 years, where it's been these, you know, expectations of they're going to do something, they're going to, you know, but they're one rung behind solid. They're semi-solid. You know, they can, you know, you can compete against them, and they can compete against whoever, but it's like they can't just blow a team away, you know, where it's just like, yep, that's them. They're gonna do this to you. And having them bottom of the rung into the playoff picture, yeah, they're probably gonna be a first round knockout. That's what they're gonna be. And, you know, so that's where I rate them at. I gotta give them a D. They're gonna be first round knockout. Right now, that's if they don't, you know, hold on to the playoff. They hold on to the playoff, their first round knockout, and if they stumble, then they won't even make the playoffs. That's where they are currently.
Well, they're holding on like Tarzan right now, man. and if we're going to say, like they said, the first round knockout, we're going to play the knockout game. I can see these guys getting knocked out of the playoffs period right now. You know what I'm saying? They're sitting at nine.
Especially, you're right, Maddie. Especially with a team like the Earthquake, San Jose. I'm going to still stay riding with them. The team like San Jose knocking on the door, I can see them making the playoffs and Colorado slipping and falling down the cliff, if you know what I mean.
Is anybody home? let me in. That's what they're doing right now, Maddie. You're right. The other teams are knocking on the door and trying to knock those guys out of playoff contention. But excellent point. Shout out to Steffen because he did come back. I thought he's injured. I ain't, you know. Okay. He's doing his thing defensively. They're super talented there. I don't want to get on the quits. All right? I'm not going to get on the quits. Give him a pass right now, okay? He can catch smoke later, right? Right now, we're going to just, you know, we're grading you guys midterm. You know, Maddie giving you a D respectfully. I'll give you a C- respectfully, all right? Step your grades up, guys. We don't want to get anybody, you know, on academic probation.
Thank you guys for listening to this episode. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to spend it with us. We definitely appreciate you. Stay tuned because there's going to be more good content. And we might have some news for you guys in the coming weeks. Maybe I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but we may have some news to share.
News flash. Right. Yeah, it's going to be some good news, guys. And just want to echo and ditto my brother, Maddie Savage. Thank you, guys. Salute to you all super fans for, you know, rocking with us. We're still growing. We're still doing this thing for you guys. And like I said, we're going to bring the passion and we're going to bring the pain, you know. And like I said, my guy, Maddie Savage, you know how he does, guys. When he starts cooking, it's flames. But anyway, you guys have fun, be safe, and have a super fantastic week. Peace.
Later, you knuckleheads. Next time.
Joining us and showing your support. Become a part of our community by subscribing to our Soccercast. Hit us up and send your comments to info@superfansusa.com. Peace.